The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is a Football Friday. Still to come this hour, Dr. Bob will join us. Steve Fezzik will join us. By the way, Fezzik texting in saying that he is, I'll tell you exactly what he says. He says, sorry I didn't have the, he says, oh, I'm in an F1 race. He says he's in a damn F1 race. You have to be Magellan to navigate this stuff. Little explorer reference from Fezzik, who's trying to wend his way around Las Vegas to get here with us. But he'll join us, as will Dr. Bob. And Paul Carr standing by to talk not football, not American football, but football coming up, Premier League stuff. First, our tweets, though. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Always appreciate it. This is from Russ Ambrose. Looking forward to this 11 o'clock Eastern segment. Still no power here in my section of South Carolina. Oh, wow. Let's see if the guests can keep the dirty words to zero this week. No kidding. Between Bob and Felica. C. Spackler. Can we have a segment from Kelly on dating tips for gamblers? We're working on it. Absolutely working on that. That should be fun. New York Mets 16, Scott. Now, by the way, I want to call out. Was this you yesterday who was killing the Mets and then you deleted your tweet once Alonso hit the home run? He said, Gil, who has the coaching edge in your opinion? In Green Bay versus the Rams. By the way, it might not have been Scott. It might have been some. It might have been Steve, the proxy. Coaching edge. I know everybody will say Sean McVay, but Matt LaFleur deserves a lot of credit for how he has handled the whole Malik Willis situation. Coaching him up for 2 weeks, the anti-Mike McDaniel, if you will. So I'll give the slight edge to McVay, but not as big as some might think. In a clash between two former 2013 Washington Redskins assistant coaches. It's incredible. How many of the 2013 Skins coaches are littered around the NFL? This is from, from Steve Cohen. Not that Steve Cohen, but a different Steve Cohen. It says, Dr. Bob has been on a cold streak, going 1-1 the last few weeks. Today, you may want to cut down the game breakdown and coax Bob to give out three picks. Last week, Bob ran out of runway on the show. Bob likes to be thorough. What can I tell you? He really enjoys being thorough. And then Pick 10 is wondering, did Jason say he walked his dog for 3+ hours? He wanted to know if that was the case, with a emoji of sort of pondering that very thought. Paul Carr joins us now from Topeka, Kansas, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He is in Felica's spot because Felica took his spot, and I bet you he's pretty darn angry about it. How you doing, Paul?
I mean, the nerve of this guy. I picked Liverpool to win 2-0 for him last week. Yeah. Liverpool doesn't come through, and then he takes my guest spot. What's going on?
Yeah. He's a diva. He's got things to do.
I know. Yeah. Big time.
I don't know if we're high on his priority list, quite frankly. But it's nice of him to make time. I'm sorry you had to be evicted from your segment, though.
Oh, yeah, just blew up my whole day. But here we are. Happy to see you, Gil.
Listen, happy to see you, too. I know you're a Royals fan. I mentioned at the beginning of the show, Parlay is going to his beloved Mets game 3 back in Queens. You're going to your first ever Royals playoff game?
I am. Got tickets for ALDS game 3. I lived on the East Coast the two times they made the playoffs recently, and my wife was pregnant for one of those, so that wasn't a legitimate option for me. So I am super stoked to be going to the first playoff game on Wednesday. First Royals playoff game.
I hope your wife appreciates that when she's pregnant, you draw the line at going to postseason baseball game. Yeah, I hope she does. Listen, good luck with that. I have the Royals in the series bet, so I'm rooting for you. Let's make it happen.
Yep. Placed a homer bet on them to win the series as well.
Did you? You don't really believe in it? It's just a homer bet? I do believe.
It's both.
I do believe. Yeah.
It's both.
It's a very
and it's a homer.
Super well balanced baseball team. Now that their bullpen was shored up and the bullpen really rose in September, that was their weakness. Bobby Witt Jr. is otherworldly. The Orioles are complete idiots for allowing him the opportunity.
Pitching to him.
It's crazy. So. Let's go. Let's make it happen. Let's get to soccer. How'd you do last week?
Oh, last week, we got the dreaded 0-3. Finally came for us. Been holding it off a long time, but it got us. So we're down about a unit and a half for the year right now.
Okay. Let's bounce back. What do you got today?
Yep. We're going to start tomorrow. Brentford, Wolverhampton, over 2.5, -125. Brentford has scored in the first minute in 3 straight games. And maybe even more impressively, they haven't won any of those games, because their defense just isn't holding up. But they're top 3 all season in expected goals, total expected goals in their games, over 3 on average. 4 of their 6 games have gone over, and another one probably should have, but somehow didn't. Wolverhampton's in last place. They're, you know, not that good. They may not get relegated, but they're obviously going to be in the battle. And four of their six have gone over this year, even though they're not all that good at scoring. Lots of center backs are out for Wolves. You know, three of their top four or five center backs are not playing in this game. So I think this will be a little bit more open. I expect, you know, a 2-1, 3-0 type of win for Brentford here. Over 2.5, minus 125.
Makes it an official Paul Carr segment. We have an over, Brentford, yep. Wolverhampton. Even though you've had your share of unders this year, I should say. That is tomorrow. Also tomorrow, Arsenal taking on Southampton. Where are you going here?
Arsenal win to nil, minus 125. I mean, Southampton looks like the worst team in the Premier League. They're newly promoted and look like they're going right back down. They have 3 goals in 6 games, and now they're playing the best defensive team in the league. So this is not, you know, rocket science advanced analysis here. Now, I will say Arsenal's defensive numbers on the season are all kinds of screwy because they played a half down a man against Man City. Man City outshot them, I forget, 33-5 or something in that game. So Arsenal's aggregate defensive numbers look not great, but if you strip that half out, they're still the best in the league this year, conceding the second lowest shot quality. So this Arsenal defense really hasn't changed. And we saw that midweek when they beat PSG 2-0 at home on Tuesday. PSG, breaking news, is far better than Southampton. And Arsenal shut them down 1-2-0. So I expect something similar on Saturday.
All right. Arsenal win to nil against Southampton. And then on Sunday, what do you have?
Yeah, this is probably your big game of the week. Aston Villa and Manchester United. Let me just kind of set the stage for how things are going at Manchester United. Their owner was asked today if he had faith in their manager, Erik ten Hag. And the owner said, "I don't want to answer that question."
That's not good.
So that's not great.
That doesn't seem optimal. Yes.
No, not good. They're in 13th place, winless in 4 straight overall, and all their underlying numbers look like that kind of mid-table type of team. So this is not like they're just getting terribly unlucky. Aston Villa's cooking. They made the top four last year. They just beat Bayern Munich in Champions League yesterday or Wednesday, and they look like, again, a top four type of contender. They've won 6 of their last 7. And they have an extra day of rest, which is nice because of the way those midweek European games fell. United's midfield is still not great, even after bringing in Ugarte. They're not great in transition. That's exactly where Aston Villa thrives, how they scored against Bayern. So you get a nice price. I got plus 130 on this last night. It might be a touch lower this morning, but you should still be able to get at least like plus 120 in that range, which I would take just for a Villa win at home over Man United.
Yeah, Aston Villa right now in 5th. I know it's early, only 6 matches into the Premier League season. There's 38 total. But Aston Villa right now in 5th place, just outside of the old Champions League category there, the first 4 spots. And Man U in 13th on the table. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, I mean, it starts at the top. The ownership situation is kind of a mess. Bringing in players that don't seem to fit. They don't fill the needs that they clearly have on the field. They've been a mess really for the last decade and kind of just moneyed their way through it some of the time. But it seems like maybe that's starting to catch up a little bit.
All right. So the Paul Carr's Premier League picks, the three of them, Brentford, Wolverhampton over 2.5 on Saturday, over 2.5 goals, Arsenal win to nil versus Southampton. That also tomorrow, and then Sunday Aston Villa to win outright versus Man U. Paul got plus 130. Always shop around for these prices. Before you go, Paul, I want to ask you about your beloved Miami Dolphins. I was hard on them earlier this week, and then on the Megapod yesterday, I kind of went off on them. That performance against the Titans, and even prior to that, I said, I think they could be really bad. Obviously, there's the Tua injury. We have 2 more games without Tua coming up. But I thought the malpractice of not having a backup quarterback ready to go, and then the inability to coach up Tyler Huntley. Yep. And again, the point being, we have seen not only in football history that great coaches like a Bill Parcells, like a Bill Walsh, like a Joe Gibbs can coach up players quickly, but we've seen it recently in NFL history, right? The Baker Mayfield performance in Los Angeles when he played for the Rams briefly, Josh Dobbs, I don't know how he did it in Minnesota. Do you watch your team now, and are you like completely, you know how that in politics in foreign countries they have a vote of lack of confidence? Are you there?
I mean, essentially yes, because yeah, I think it is kind of malpractice ignoring the Tua part of it. Like you have to kind of have a plan B because you know, half the starting quarterbacks get hurt every single year regardless. And on top of that, you have a quarterback who is a little bit fragile. Like clearly, I know he played every game last year and maybe that kind of blindsided them. So you need a plan B and you need to be able to adapt. Because I was hopeful that after another game or two, whether it was Skylar Thompson or now Tyler Huntley, something would change and, you know, you tweak the attack to, you know, accentuate the skills of your quarterback, or you simplify it. You see that a lot when new guys come in. You simplify it and let them do what they can do and do it well. And I feel like we haven't really seen any of that. It's pretty disappointing. I don't know what that means for the future of McDaniel or Tua, for that matter. Obviously, they're kind of intertwined. But yeah, I was hoping after a couple weeks, and you get the Titans, you know, that's just the Titans at home on a Monday night. Like, that's a game where you've got to show something, because that's not a good Titans team, whether it's your boy Billy Levi's or not Kyle Rudolph, but the other Rudolph who's playing quarterback. You got
Mason
to be able
Rudolph,
to beat
him.
Yeah. Mason Rudolph, thank you.
Yeah. Well, another quote-unquote winnable game against the Patriots this weekend, so we shall see.
If this ends like 6-3, I'm going to throw things.
All right, last 30 seconds. Let's go back to soccer. We have one MLS question from Tim Lawson, The Better Life. Paul, with SKC out of the postseason race, how is the energy surrounding KC Current and their strong form this season?
NWSLs, Kansas City Current.
NWSLs, pardon me. Yeah, yes.
Mm-hmm. They've been great all season. They're down third and fourth, so... they really want the home games for the playoffs, so they need to pick up a spot or two. So the energy's good, but it's maybe not quite where it was. They had some injuries to deal with, things like that, but they're still getting set for the playoffs. They get home games, they'll be in good shape.
Tim Lawson, a very good NWSL better, by the way, should be pointed out.
Yeah. He's the one.
He is the one. That's correct. Paul, always a pleasure, man. Thank you so much.
Brett, have a good weekend.
To Paul Carr at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R on Twitter, from the Expected Value Podcast and True Media Networks. Steve Fezzik, assuming he has F1'd his way in, he's next, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Once again, don't forget, Numbers Game has a special offer. Right now, you can score 40% off our football season special when you use promo code ANG. Sign up now, get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through the Super Bowl, including daily best bets, 19 hours of live programming, proven betting systems, exclusive betting splits, all with a savings of 40% off the football season special. This week only, though, when you sign up and use promo code ANG. As in A Numbers Game. This offer expires on Monday, so do not wait. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander, always a joy to have in studio each and every Friday during this football season. A man who has navigated the F1 construction around town and drove here like a banshee. I don't know how a banshee drives, but it's a good expression. It's Steve Fezzik, everybody, the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest. You made it, Magellan.
I'm going to be the mayor of this town, and my one campaign promise, do away with F1. It will be a landslide.
You do, in all seriousness, though. You want to find out, in the same way that you want to find out who was the person that didn't vote for Caitlin Clark for Rookie of the Year, you want to find out who the politicians are by name who got greased for this. Yes?
Well, Jim Gibbons, I think, is the head of the commission, but... I mean, here's a situation. I believe we're living in democracy. I'm not sure.
I think so.
Yeah. I think I'm. It's unclear.
At least right. Still. Yes.
Gordon Gekko disagrees from Wall Street.
Yeah.
But 90%, I really think of the casino workers and those who live on the strip that I ask, if you could press the button, you're the decision maker, would you have F1 back? It's unclear. They're like, of course not.
No. I live on the strip.
Life you hate
is,
it, right?
It's one of these things where when you say this, people like, you know, people hear you say that. They're like, oh, you live on the strip? Boy, tough life, right? Mm-hmm. You choose to live on the strip. I did. So I have to deal with whatever happens. I didn't know, none of us did, that the city would completely just allow them to run us over.
And how can the revenue from one great weekend make up for like 8 weeks of misery where people come here in October and they're getting hit with surcharges, traffic jams? It cannot. But the construction companies are making millions by building bridges that they tear back down.
Yeah.
So it's creating jobs.
Where it manifests for me the most is I have I kind of know my marks when I'm driving to work every morning. I know I have to be here by this time to be on time for work. And when I leave, they will often just say, you can't go that way anymore. Like, you have to go the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. I was like, we have lives here. No, you don't. No, you don't. It's F1. You have a lot to talk about, as you always do with the football, but you came in with a request. You wanted to talk about Pete Rose for a second.
Yeah, the greatness of Pete Rose. You know, as old as I've gotten, so I grew up in Southern Ohio and the Big Red Machine, so I'm somewhat biased, but Pete Rose is one of the most tremendous baseball players ever. People are like, he's the longevity, bunch of singles hitters.
No.
So a couple points I'd make. And over the past 100 years, what MLB players hit the most doubles?
Pete Rose.
Exactly. Yeah. There was one dude who was born in 1888 that's number one. So literally, and part of that reason, people are like, well, that's just because he got a lot of, like, he hustled his way to second. Yeah, when he would hit a ball in the gap short, he would, you know, go full steam instead of just cruising, you know, to first. The Big Red Machine, losing the World Series in 1970, losing the World Series in 1972. Pete Rose is the MVP in 73. They lose to the Mets in five games despite Rose homering to win game four single-handedly. 75, the Reds are scuffling. It looks like they might never win a championship. They're 12-12 in May. Sparky Anderson comes to Rose, a two-time gold glove outfielder. Think about this.
Yeah.
MVP, two-time gold glover, and says, we got to get Foster in the lineup. I want to move you to third base. He spends the day having ground balls ricochet off his body, like practicing.
Mm-hmm.
Next day, he's in the starting lineup. That great eight with Foster in left field and Vukovich out of third base and Rose playing third base. Guess how many games when that lineup was intact that team won?
Well, you asked me this off air, so I'm not gonna guess because I know the answer now, and I was startled by this.
They went 64-16 over the next 2 years. That's an 800 win percentage. That's not the best team of all time. I mean, it's by margin. That's if you normalize that over a full season, that would be 130 wins.
Yeah.
And here's a team with suspect starting pitching, the Jack Billinghams, Don Gullett, and 4 days of frowning, basically.
Don Gullett was the ace.
Don
ace
Gullett
in quotes,
was the good
right?
starter.
Yeah.
And you know what? That was about it. You know, and then we Sparky would ask everyone to go five innings and then bring in the bullpen. Famously Captain Hook. Pete Rose invented the head first slide. He ran hard at all times around the bases. So he played the
even
game.
When he got walked.
Even when he walked, he would Charlie hustle his way to first base, and he made everyone else play harder because of it. So
Mike Schmidt credits Pete Rose with getting him to be consistent on a game-by-game basis in Philly once he got over there. Before that, apparently, Schmidt didn't take every game as seriously as the next, I guess, is the interpretation of that.
You know, what's interesting is you're talking about the greatest home runs, and these walk-off home runs are so rare, and they never turn the tide. I'll make the case that the Tony Perez Game 7 home run, the greatest World Series ever, Red Sox-Reds, it's the sixth inning. The Reds are down 0-3, so Perez hits a two-run homer. He doesn't hit that home run. The Reds lose that series. And they go on to never win another championship because they trade Perez at the end of the 76 season. They would have traded him at the end of the 75 to shake things up. And after Perez, who was the heart and soul of that team, Mr. RBI, Mr. Clutch, they would have gone down as the greatest hitting team to never win nothing.
Yeah. Instead, they won it all in 75 against the Red Sox. They won it all in 76.
Swept the Yankees.
And then Perez got traded. And obviously the 75 series, the most iconic image from that series is Carlton Fisk hitting the game-winning home run at Fenway in Game 6 that forced that Game 7.
So Stevie Twitter had a moment.
Yeah.
I see Carlton Fisk at Tahoe in the celebrity tournament, and he hits a horrific hook, all right?
Uh-huh.
And I start yelling, stay fair! Stay fair!
Did he get it?
And he's glaring at me.
That's great.
As the ball goes out of bounds.
Two questions. Why are you such a big Reds fan? Why were you such a big Reds fan? Did you grow up there?
Yeah, Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, you did.
So
that's
right,
right.
Down I-75, 50 miles. So straight A tickets. I barely qualified. And
okay.
Sit in the green seats and watch the Reds
six times
a year.
And then number two, you're so well-dressed this morning. What do we owe this to?
My wife.
Oh.
So my wife has, and Bill AD. So I was talking to Bill, and I was like, twisted my arm to go to the Legacy Club, the greatest experience in all of Las Vegas, on the 60th floor overlooking the entire valley. And we were discussing like how dressed for success and the hosts, and how if I'm a little groggy on a Friday morning, well, if I dress up, I'll get favorable rounding.
There's this tweet from Bobby Knuckles. Is Fezzik going to pass out buttons in the studio? A vote for Fezzik is a vote against F1, a one issue candidate. Yes. You would absolutely be a one-issue candidate.
You know, I'm not. Not only am I like voting for like anti F1, but I am voting for a college football championship, and I'm voting for, you know, Chris the Bear Felicas.
Oh, okay, let's talk about that. You were listening, and you love what he gave out.
Oh, so Blue Horseshoe loves Georgia to win the championship. Chris Felica comes on, and he gives you these Easter eggs on things to bet. Okay, and he kind of like, yeah, Georgia. So think about this: Georgia's going to make the championship. We're not adjusting Georgia's power rating based upon a coin flip loss on the road to Alabama. Hey, there's only four teams, basically four and a half, that can win this championship and throw a blanket over them. You know, Alabama and Georgia, Texas, Ohio State, and maybe Oregon. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're throw Oregon in, fine. There's five even teams. Well, every one of them should be 4-1, but they're not all 4-1 because there's other pretenders that they have odds on, and Ohio State and Texas, just because of the vagaries of which way the wind has been blowing in the schedule, that they're like 3-1 and plus 325. So right now, DraftKings, Georgia plus 650. Think about that prop that the South Point put up to start the year. Will Georgia or Ohio State win the championship? Even money. Pick them. All mm-hmm. right. That implies, if they're equal, both Ohio State and Georgia, 50-50 chance, you know, one of those will win, meaning there's a 25% chance each individual team will win. I don't see much as having changed. So if I've got a team that's going to win 25% of the time, I know they had a bad game against Kentucky.
Is there a better bet in sports betting right now than this?
Yeah, the Connecticut back about $80 fine. Connecticut to win the NCAA championship, but it's eerily reminiscent. Right. Remember, it's obvious Connecticut was the best team and you could bet them at like pull plus 450. I'll make the case. I still think Georgia's the best team and you can get them plus 650. Do it now.
Georgia plus 650. And you're talking UConn to win the next NCAA championship?
No, the last one.
The last one.
The market was it became obvious all of a sudden that I really firmly believe that within the next month, it's going to become obvious Georgia's the best team.
Yeah. Okay. Plus 650 available DraftKings. Always shop around for these.
Thank you,
the,
Bear.
The other thing that you liked what Chris talked about was the weather in the Northwestern game.
Yeah. So I went to Northwestern. So I know that lake fell. I used to run on that lake fell and it's a wind tunnel. So like pulling back the curtain, people are like, what's the best game to live wager? It's never a dome game. It's always an outdoor game with weather. So the Viking game and Tottenham would qualify because we're really not sure what the field conditions are going to be like. And same with the wind. If we get a situation with the way that field is configured with hardly any stands open to the wind, and the wind is not if it's a tailwind, it's going to benefit whoever's getting the ball in that particular quarter. Advantage live wagering. If it's a crosswind, it's going to crush the offenses and you want to play under. So that's the game you want to be live wagering in on Saturday.
Yeah, and Felica gave a pre-flop Indiana Northwestern under 42 in that game. Northwestern grad Bill Adie, also a Northwestern grad. I'm sure you guys have connected on that as well.
Yeah, he was down in the South Quads having fun while I was in tech doing physics experiments.
Little Northwestern inside knowledge there from Stevie. Physics experiments. Oh, the ladies must have loved you, Stevie.
Yeah, they didn't.
Or Fezzik on the other side. His thoughts on week 5, maybe week 6. Who knows? In the National Football League. That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Take your betting to the next level by playing the ponies on First Bet. From Santa Anita and Gulfstream Park to the Kentucky Derby and Preakness, First Bet has you covered. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, STBet.com. Use promo code VSiN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. Skill Alexander, Steve Fezzik. At Fezzik Sports, by the way, on Twitter, but I caution you, he's a terribly ornery person on Fezzik Sports.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah, totally. No, it's worse than that, Stevie. It's worse than that. But anyway, that's where he is on Twitter, in case you had to know. Mayoral candidate, Steve Fezzik, a one-issue candidate, as we found out today. Would you ever consider doing that?
I would know.
Okay, I was just gonna say. Because you seemed a little excited there for a second.
It frustrates me when something's obvious and like 20 years from now, we'll be writing about what went on and how who got what to make this transpire and what a terrible thing it was. And yet we're too close to the sun that we can't see it as it's happening.
Oh, some people can see it. They just don't want to talk about it. You have as your first act as a mayoral candidate, you want to give away a secret barbecue spot.
Okay. So the secret sushi spot will remain undisclosed. However, Ellis Island, locals' favorite here.
Yeah.
They have a great barbecue. You always hear
Koval Lane.
It Koval Lane, Koval and Flamingo. Get there quick because it's going to be inaccessible within a month with this F1 coming. But
that's how my cousin Itzik pronounces it. He goes, Koval Lane.
Koval Lane.
Yeah.
And all the restaurants are fantastic. They cater to the locals. You say you can't get a deal in Vegas for $18.95. You can get a full rack of ribs or ribs and chicken, and you get the little player's card, and they always have like $3 off and the like. So literally you can feed a family for $40 with that barbecue.
Okay.
And it's really good.
Who wouldn't vote for this guy? He's giving away secret spots. Okay. Before we do your thoughts on a couple games this weekend, it's become a little bit of a staple here when you join us to talk about a game in the forthcoming week.
Yes.
So week six, what do you have?
So let's go week six, and we're going to go San Fran at Seattle. All right. And so when you're looking for a house to buy, you look for comps. Okay. I'm going to make an easy case for why Seattle +3. Go on Seattle +3. We are betting Seattle. Lock it up. That's famously by Right Angle Sports. They have their setup.
We do it on the show sometimes.
They set it up and then they go. And every now and then they go opposite. We are going oppo. We are not going opposite. We are betting Seattle. So just last week, and there were some sharp guys.
Do they do oppo also? I didn't know they did that.
They got to keep people jump the gun, Gil.
I just thought they did cancel.
They set it up, and there's some devious people out there who actually, believe it or not, bet before the go is given. Last week, Seattle was playing Detroit. All right. Now, Detroit and San Francisco, they're not far apart. They're fairly comparable teams. I do have the Niners better by half a point, okay? So they're completely in the same neighborhood. Last week, Seattle was on the road at Detroit, and they were catching 3.5 for most of the week, okay? Now this week, week six, they are home, and they were catching 3.5 at the open. So how can that be? You're changing the venue. Seattle is a huge home field. Detroit is a big home field. So why would we bet Seattle week four? Why would anyone have bet Seattle week four when they're on the road catching 3.5 when you can get them at home and get +3? The answer is you shouldn't. So my power ratings make it just below 3, and solid value for a Seattle team that, although they got blown out and couldn't stop Detroit at all, they've just played tremendously on offense.
So Seattle, week 6, yes. Stevie's look ahead play of the week. We should sponsor this. Stevie's look ahead play of the week. All right, then week 5, what is right in front of us. You like a couple games above all.
Yeah, so I've been known to be the great aggregator. What do I mean by that? It's like, I want to know who everyone likes and why. Okay. And when the aggregations line up, they align like the planets.
Yeah.
That's the time I like to.
Can I just go on record? You and I have had many conversations about this in our off air where we don't see eye to eye on the whole aggregation thing necessarily. Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Famously, I used to give out some of Gilly's baseball plays.
Yeah. Like I didn't appreciate
10
that.
Years. So you did very well, though.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
You know, I have a fiduciary responsibility to my clients to give the best betting information.
How is this? Okay. Anyway, go ahead, Mr. Aggregator.
Well, but the point, the key is I'm not just like taking someone's plays. I mean, I'm getting all the info. Like the Bear. The Bear likes Georgia +650.
Right.
He originated that, but I concur completely.
As long as you give attribution, it's not a problem.
Yes.
But you're an aggregator. I'm not sure if you're an attributor.
All right. Well, I always listen to certain guys, pioneers.
Okay. There you go. Pioneer might be
razors,
coming up.
Razor sharp people Raz sharp people in the marketplace. Okay. I oftentimes disagree, and I'll go the opposite.
Yes, you will.
Perhaps, especially after a line move. But there's two games that line up absolutely for me. Carolina, Chicago. So Chicago -4, widely available at every spot. You can even lay a 3.5. I make this game 5, but my gut says, boy, Carolina, they got that dead cat bounce, you know, where the Red Rifle took over. Terrible defense, completely injured. And I refuse to believe the offense is going to be anything but slightly below average. And the Bears are a good team with a bad quarterback. And I hate backing a bad quarterback, but this is a case. Just don't turn the ball over, Caleb, and they should be fine. And I've been working the past year with Dr. Chow and his folks. So I get all their SIC industry scores, their injury reports, and I'm like, simplify for it. Just give me a number. And 90, if you're north of 90, you're a very healthy team. If you're south of 80, you're an injured team. And in this case, Chicago's a 92 and Carolina's a 75. So Chicago is healthy. Carolina's injured, mostly on the defensive side. I'm on the Bears.
Okay, couple follow-ups to that. One, you are convinced Caleb Williams, I'm not disagreeing, but you are convinced Caleb Williams is not good.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if he'll be good in 3 years, but he's now he's not good
for sure. Not now.
Yeah. And I have my quarterback ratings, and I don't have to go very far. Ah, I am last in the league. 32nd.
You have him dead last.
Yes.
Bryce Young is not on that list, I would assume.
No, he's been relegated to CFL.
Who's second to last on there?
Jacoby Brissett.
Okay. Where does Anthony Richardson fall?
Third worst.
Okay. I could have done this for a while before we got to Anthony Richardson. I was like, okay, thank you. The other thing about it is your guy, Dr. Chow. Did you see him front row right behind home plate in the Padres game the other night?
Is that right?
I texted him. I said, put down your phone and watch the game.
Well, he's got a fiduciary responsibility to his clients to do the very best and be constantly monitoring the
watch
injuries.
The damn game, man. All right. And the other one, I'm actually kind of pumped that we're on the same side in this one. We're on the Packers here, -3 against the Rams. And when I gave this out last hour, I prefaced it by saying, I feel like I'm making a square ball pick of the week with this, because it seems to me like everybody, the too cool for school crowd, is like, oh, this is a perfect spot for the Rams. Everybody's, I don't know what the rationale was. I'm on the Packers. I just think they're a better football team. And obviously the Rams have injuries still.
Exactly right. And Dr. Chow's folks, the actual numbers, the Rams are a 79. Anything north of 80 is bad. Packers are fairly healthy at 89. So 10-point differential. That's good on the Packers. I make the Packers 5 points better in my power ratings. Let's go to home field. Well, Green Bay has to fly all the way out to L.A., as do all of their fans, because they're going to take over SoCal stadium. It'll be 60% Green Bay fans. And Frank, I'm going to make the case. Green Bay is going to win the Super Bowl this year. All right. So Green Bay obviously love.
I thought I was high on them.
So I don't have them my number one team, but I think they could easily be that by the end of the year, because Love is going to keep getting, healthier. They won two games with a bad third string quarterback. So they're 2-2. Mm-hmm. Every other team that has to play with a bad third string quarterback, like the Miami Dolphins, they can't score at all.
And the two games they lost, I guess we look back at the Philly game a little differently now, but it felt like, at least at the time, and certainly the game they lost this week, there was no real shame in them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And Philly had their wide receivers. They hadn't been injured yet. If you go old school, Pioneer handicapping yards per play. Bob famously invented this.
He did. Dr. Bob, the first guy to talk yards per play.
So if you like YPP, you're going to love Green Bay, because every play that's run, they're like plus one. They 1 yard. Whereas every play that's run, the Rams are like minus one. So it's like a 2 yard yard per play difference. And Green Bay has that despite having a horrific quarterback in half their games. So that's, just outstanding. It's funny, we always talk about who invented what and the like I like to say I invented the decimal point, in terms of the points, but I always say the lines 2.75. But last night's game, the Atlanta game, I was thinking, Gil Alexander, you got to copyright this Plinko thing, man. I mean, it was Plinko 101. I have to mention 36-30. I don't think I've ever seen this. Largest lead of the game, 7 points. And no team scored three consecutive times. Imagine this.
Oh, wow.
The Sharps love betting three straight scores. Yes, -150. Here's a game that had 66 points, nonstop scoring.
Yeah.
And nobody ever scored three in a row.
That's always the Super Bowl prop I cite as the one that flummoxes new bettors the most, right? Because now you can play it in more than just the Super Bowl. But back in the day, it was always just the Super Bowl. Will a team score three times in a row, not including extra points or two-point conversions? And the average new bettor would be like, oh my God, they're two great teams. Of course, no one's going to score 3 points. This is completely mispriced, but it always happens.
And the poster child of it is the low scoring Super Bowl Tennessee Rams. Close game, low scoring. Both teams scored three consecutive times.
Stevie, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Let's go, Packers.
One issue, mayoral candidate. Are you betting the Packers to win the Super Bowl? Is that what you said?
Packers, just yes to make the playoffs, +120. That's a bonus pick. That's available at DraftKings.
Okay. You walked it back a little bit there for a second. Thank you, Steve. Dr. Bob, the aforementioned Dr. Bob, next right here on The Numbers Game.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin's still here. He's just behind the glass, I promise you. We didn't do anything with him. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Best listeners in the game. Jason, let's see here. This is from, let's see, what do we got here? Oh, we lost it. This is from, okay, I'll read them off the screen. We'll do it live, as they say. As they say, the business. Let's see here. Bobby Knuckles talking about the Fezzik portion of the show here. Also talking about, is he not only a one-issue candidate, but that Commissioner Fezzik sounds like a Gotham villain. So he does not, he would add that to the Fezzik campaign here. This is from Shooter McGamblin, who says, Gil, you were talking about how teasers have been brutal this year. This is on the Megapod we were talking about it. Possibly due to there being more parody in the league than ever. If that's the case, we should only be teasing dogs. Forget Wong teasers. This is the year of the dog teasers. Yes, the Wong teasers, the Stanford Wong legs again, Stanford Wong, pseudonym of John Ferguson, who came up with this back in the day, teasing through the 7 and the 3. If you're a home favorite or if you're a home or road dog, teasing up through the 3 or 7, that has not been a winning proposition this year. And so, yeah, we're getting a little creative with the teasers on the Megapod. That is for sure. That has definitely been a development. So I'm with you on that, Shooter. Steve the Proxy. Oh, this is Steve was the one who I said had the Mets, the anti-Mets tweet. He was so angry at his Mets. And then all of a sudden things turned. He said, the segment, Gil, is called We Get Tweets, not We Get Deleted Tweets. 8 innings of the Mets with 2 hits by Lindor and no one else. And Alonso dropped a pop up and 30 years of misery led to my garage beer while watching Mets Twitter meltdown. But now we're back, he says. OK, there you go. The charitable gambler, that is not the secret sushi spot. Sorry, buddy. Sorry. Good try, though. And then Bob C -137, he says the anticipation for Dr. Bob is building. Putting him in the closing slot was a genius scheduling move. What do you know, ladies and gentlemen, we have the pioneer. It's Dr. Bob at Dr. Bob Sports on Twitter, drbobsports.com, of course, on the World Wide Web. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Bobby, how you doing?
Good. You may no longer be my good luck charm after Washington and Northern Illinois last week.
Oh, so you're blaming me is what I'm getting.
two underdogs.
Yeah.
That outgained their opponents by an average of 170 yards and neither cover the spread.
And
that's a push on Northern Illinois, but the Washington game was ridiculous. Outgained Rutgers by over 200 yards. ridiculousness. And then, of course, Northern Illinois basically gave up 14 points on turnovers by the NC State defense and didn't, and still only lost by 7. So,
yeah.
Two good picks, but that's what they call gambling, Gil.
That is why they call it gambling. I could sense your frustration while those outcomes were developing. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Well, yeah.
There's always the next game. How about tonight?
There is.
UNLV, 6.5-point favorites against Syracuse. I know you were on UNLV recently. Weren't you on them last week as well?
Yeah, last week, and the line is down to 6 and 5.5 at a couple of Vegas, at a couple spots. So you can get the -6 and maybe you can go down even more. Yeah, I bet on UNLV last week. The line, they were favored by 4.5. Then Matthew Sluka quit the team over this NIL dispute. The line dropped to 1. And I was like, well, that's stupid. Matt Sluka is not the reason UNLV is good. In fact, we got a quarterback completing 44% of his passes. Why would him being out be worth 3 points against the team? They might be better without him. His only, attribute was that he's a good runner, but the backup quarterback, Haj Malik Williams, averaged 7 yards a run last year at Campbell. So it's not like he can't run. And Williams completed 70% of his passes at Campbell, while Sluka has always been a low completion quarterback, even during his time in the FCS level. So I thought, if anything, UNLV's offense probably will get better, not worse. So I thought the line move was stupid. And of course, Williams went out and completed 13 of 16 passes for 182 yards. He ran for 119 yards on 12 runs, and the Rebels beat Fresno State 59-14. The reason UNLV has been good even before last week's win was the defense has been good. They held Houston to 7 points at 3.5 yards per play. They held Kansas to 20 points in a 3-point road win in Lawrence. Their defense is giving up an average of 13.7 points per game, 4.8 yards per play to 3 FBS teams. That's about 0.7 yards per play better than what those 3 teams would do against an average defense. So UNLV's defense is the star of this team. And Syracuse is a good team, but I think UNLV's offense matches up well. Syracuse has a very good pass defense, but UNLV doesn't throw the ball that often. And what Syracuse has had trouble doing is stopping the run. They've given up an average of over 6 yards per run play, 6.4 to three FBS teams they face. So Syracuse has had trouble defending the run. UNLV is just happy to run it 50 times. And so they're not playing into the strength of the Syracuse defense. And then Syracuse has a decent offense, and a little bit worse than average running it, about average passing it. Because, I mean, you look at McCord's stats for Syracuse, he's averaging 7.5 yards per pass play. But the teams he's faced have would allow 7.5 yards per pass play to an average quarterback. So the offense has not been that good, and UNLV's defense has been good. So I think we have a good matchup for UNLV's offense, and UNLV's defense is good enough to contain Syracuse. So I see a pretty comfortable win. So UNLV minus the 6 points should work.
I love it. Thorough as always. Bob saying that UNLV will get to 5-0 and do it with a flourish by covering the number at 6 currently. 6.5, you'd play it as well, I would assume. Yes?
Yeah, you would, but I don't think you'll need to delay 6.5. But yeah, if you're number 6.5, then wait. But if you have 6.5, then play it anyway.
All right. Central Florida and Florida. You have a thought on this game as well and a bet.
Yeah, the line's down to 1.5. I really said 2.5. I thought the line might go to 3 because I thought this is a stupid line. Central Florida should be favored by about 6. I mean, Central Florida stunk last week and they lost to Colorado. Their offense didn't play well. But they've still averaged over 500 yards of total offense at 6.7 yards per play with their starters in the 3 games they've played against FBS teams. That includes 519 yards and 6.8 yards per play on the road against TCU, which has a better than average defense. So it was a one-off that they did not play well last week against Colorado. Their offense has been 1.3 yards per play better than average in 3 games against FBS teams. And Florida's defense is still worse than average. They're giving up over 500 yards and 6.5 yards per play in 3 games against FBS teams that they faced. They faced some decent offenses, Miami and Texas A&M, Miss State, not so good. But the offenses they faced are good, but they're still worse than average, even if you compensate for that. And Florida's offense, very good, obviously. But UCF's defense is good enough, about half a yard per play better than average, to contain Florida's offense, which is 0.8 yards per play better than average, to not allow Florida to keep up with how many points Central Florida is going to score. Aside from last week against Colorado, they've just been scoring and scoring and scoring, and Florida has not been able to stop a decent offense from scoring, you know, at least 35 points. So I think Central Florida is going to win this game, and I would lay up to 3 points.
Okay. Those are your two picks from Dr. Bob. UCF laying the points on the road against Florida. And then, once again, UNLV laying the points tonight in their ball game. Before you go, Bob, we were just talking about the value on Georgia to win it all at plus 650. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think they're going to make the playoff. I mean, I still think they're, you know, maybe the best top three. They're definitely a top three team. And if you're a top three team and you get in the playoff, even if you have to play an extra game, which might be the case, you still have a, you know, legitimate 25%, 30% chance to win. So getting, you know, 6-1 or whatever, that seems like a good bet to me.
Okay. And you're seeing which season is going better for you right now, college or pro?
College has been better. I'm up in college. I mean, I've done well there, even with last week's two unlucky results that we mentioned earlier. And the NFL's been a little weird. Just had some strange losses that, you know, games we probably shouldn't have lost, but last year we were, you know, 65% in the NFL. So it's going to come around. So I'm not too worried about it. We're down a little bit in the NFL, up in college, but it's a long season. We're going to win again.
Now that negates my follow-up question, which would have been, do you think this is a, you know, something that we can count on, the NFL just continuing to be weirder and weirder as it goes on? But you had a great season last year, so
No,
for God's sake.
And you know, I heard you talking about long teasers. That's short sample size. You know, people overreact to short-term trends, which is ridiculous. So.
Okay, all right. Bob, once again, it's not the Megapod, it's radio. But thank you, sir. I appreciate it,
sorry,
as always.
Bud.
That's all right. Dr. Bob, everybody. Thank you, Bobby.
I'll go wash my mouth out with soap.
Yeah, please. For God's sakes, do that. Dr. Bob, the great Dr. Bob. Again, at Dr. Bob Sports, drbobsports.com. Not buying into the fact that Wong teasers are tougher than ever. I don't think I am either, other than it ain't working right now, and let's see what it does. Let's see when it comes back on this stuff. But he's not buying into anything short-term on that. Money Moves, top of the hour, coming up. Stormy is doing college football, so it's going to be Patrick and Jeff Schwartz, Patrick Maher and Jeff Schwartz. Money Moves, top of the hour, right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Enjoy.